the entry of God's word.
Well, good morning to you all and a very warm welcome to worship this morning. I was hoping for better weather, but maybe it'll come later in the day. The prayer group will meet at the close of today's service across in the large hall. We have the usual activities this week, the card group on Tuesday, musical memories is on Wednesday afternoon with Mary, and Bible study on Wednesday evening. Thursday has the service and the country dancing, and Chana is on Friday, and also the quiz night on Friday night. So we're looking forward to that. Articles for the messenger should be handed in or sent to Elizabeth by next Sunday at the latest, please. And also the items that the Guild was looking for Equindeni Hospital, next Sunday is the last date for that, because we'll be taking them on to Kilmarnock to get passed on. So thank you all very much for what you have contributed so far. We've been quite overwhelmed. Chris is now wondering if she'll manage to fit it all into her car to get it to Kilmarnock. So all good. The ragbag collection goes on Tuesday of this week. So if you've still got things to bring, could you get them to us by Tuesday, please? We've been asked about car parking. And just to clarify, if you have a blue badge, if you're a blue badge holder, then you can park on the double yellow lines outside the opticians on the opposite side of Chapel Well Street. But if you don't have a blue badge, I wouldn't park there if I was you, okay? And lastly, just to reiterate what I said last week, the Presbytery is encouraging as many people as possible to sign up for a six-session Pioneer introductory course, which started on Wednesday there, and it's on the internet from 7 until 9. The course is an introduction to the idea of starting and identifying new mission projects, and we're also looking for two or three representatives from the congregation to attend a mission projects mapping exercise here in Kirkgate on the 9th of May from 7 till 9. And if you're interested in doing that, please speak to Nigel about it. These are all the intimations. Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you, Vivian, for those lovely parts of the life of our church. You know, whenever you hear things announced, pray about those things, because they form part of who we are. And if you are able to, as you have heard, services and other things, Bible study is fun, trust me. And there are lots of people, don't think I'm saying this so that at least we can have people. We can have, there's much room, and we can do with more faces there. It's lovely. Last week I promised, and I've seen some people responded well to the request to actually try and find a different seat. You know, my mom impressed, well done. She moved from front to the very back. So The idea is, I want to encourage you to sit next to somebody else, someone you know, someone you have not spoken to. And the idea is that we can get to know more of each other and get to love each other more, because when you've asked their names and you've asked them how you're doing and all that, you know, for those who come early in the service, you can actually get to say, how are you doing? What can I pray for you this morning before I start praying? Because some are in that habit, good habit of getting into the church, be quiet and pray. So if you do that as often as you can, that would take us far. I also promised last week that I was going to shout out to some people. Some have not been here for a long, long time. So today I'm just going to shout out to a few, but I'm hoping next week I can shout out to others as well who are online. So I will do that just now. I want to start by shouting out to Gary Cooper, who is in America, and I am shouting out to him. Paul Israel is in South Africa. I'm also shouting out to him. Audrey and Laura, they are in Sault Coats, and I'm shouting out to them. Angela in German, Kathy Coulter and Adroson, we are delighted to have you. Jean Hay and family, currently they are in America. I'm shouting out to them. Moira and Ron, in the comfort of their home today because of jet lag. You can imagine that. Alison Buick is not with us this morning. She's joining us online. We are delighted. Celia and Alison, we are delighted that you are joining us. You know, I could go on and on. Sandra, you're welcome. God bless you. There are so many others I'll shout out to next week. Whenever you're going out on a holiday and you want me to shout out your name from wherever you will be, I will do that. Just let me know. But we join together and we are worshiping God. You know what? The Spirit of God calls us into this community. And we're not just called out to come. We are called out, and the blind are able to see through the power of the Spirit. The captive are liberated. The poor are given banquets, and the least are raised up by the Spirit of God. And into this community, this kingdom community, we gather and we dare to worship God. We join our hearts and our minds and our voices together as we sing our first opening hymn, CH4115, Love is the Touch. Thank you. would like to invite Ruth to lead us in prayer.
Most gracious and mighty God, our Saviour and Redeemer, we gather to worship you in all of your glory. We come before you in reverence and awe of your unfailing love for us. You are our Saviour, always with us and within us, blessing us with the majesty of your Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father God, we thank you for your Holy Scriptures, teaching and guiding us to strive to live our best lives, not by ourselves, but by Christ in us, through the blessing of your Holy Spirit. Precious Lord, we thank you for the joy you bring to our lives and pray that you will help us to approach your throne of grace with humility and open hearts and minds, enabling us to lead Spirit-filled lives. Wonderful Saviour, we can often feel insignificant, yet you, our amazing God, show us that we are all significant to you. You love us, you protect us, and you guide us when we open our hearts to you, stay close to you, and are led by your Holy Spirit. Mighty God, we pray that you will bless us with the courage, desire, and ability to testify to your greatness and acknowledge your grace in our daily lives. As you are our light in the darkness, we pray that you will encourage us to shine our light in the lives of those who have yet to know you. Father God, we are often weak and you are strong, but it is in our weakness, when we are journeying through the dark places, that you show us the way back to the light. Merciful God, as we await the celebration of Pentecost, when heaven and earth overlapped, where church community was born, a community of believers in Christ's teachings and truth, we pray that you remind us of the importance of spreading your word, and that you, our mighty God, dwell in us rather than in certain places, spaces, or buildings. Precious Saviour, help us to be your people who bear witness to the risen Lord Jesus, choosing to live in his way of love, choosing to follow Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Ruth. We take a moment to hear God speak to us through the psalm. I invite you to close your eyes if you want to, or if you feel led to, as we hear God speak to us through this psalm. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Lord, you know each and every one of us, and you love us so much. We pour our hearts to you as we confess our sins to you. We pour our hearts to you as we worship you. We pour our hearts to you as we continue to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're going to be talking about something that we all know, and it is love. Love. And I wonder to our young people, Dylan's and Xavier and Jennifer and all others, how do you show love? Harper, how do you show love? I can see you're showing love to Grandpa. How do you show love? Oh, cuddles. Yes, cuddles. All right. How do you show love? Yes.
Smiling.
It's another sign of showing love to others. How else? What? Yes. Being kind. All right. Xavier, how do you show love? She was put on the spot. So today, as we talk about love, I'm going to share with you a story. But after the story, I'm going to do something that I hope at the end of the day, people will still love me. All right, in this church. So I'm going to do something at the end. So hold on and bear with me. It's all for love. So I want to share a story with you, young people. Are you able to come here in front, maybe so that I can see you? Oh, come. Please, could you come here with your Jennifers, who are also young at heart? Please come forward and look at me as I share a story with you. Right here would do better, I think. All right, Dylan, please come. Yes, come. Well done, Dylan. All right. So I'm going to share a story. Please, I'm not a very good storyteller, but bear with me. The story is about a young boy called William. He became a Christian and loved Jesus very, very much. What do you think William would do to show that he loved Jesus? Yes? He would? He would do anything. Okay? Others? Yes, Savior.
Love others.
So William would do anything to love others. He would give cuddles. He would do anything for others. He would sacrifice for others. And from a very young age like that young, he wanted to help others to know of the love of God. Now, instead of becoming a minister like me, he wanted to serve God by helping others, especially ministers, to become better ministers. He supported them. He was there to be sent out to do things for them. He offered money, he offered services, he offered support, and he would do anything for his church. Whenever he got paid, very interesting for adults, he always gave a portion of his money to the church first before he could do anything. He eventually owned his own business and continued to give a lot of his money and wealth to people. But he did quite a lot for the home country where he was from. And who of you can guess? Maybe let me give you more. William helped his father in the manufacturing of soap and candles. And he was born actually not very far from here. He was born in Kent, in England. And then later on, he moved to New York City. And that was around, not long ago, 1804. And he became an apprentice in a soap-making company. And he learned a lot of things about manufacturing and all that. And then around in 1806, he started his own company. It started as a small shop, and eventually it became bigger and bigger and bigger. Today, some of his products are well known. And who could try and guess what his surname is? William is his first name. Yes?
William Shakespeare.
William Shakespeare. Clap hands for D. Clap hands for D, please. Well tried, but not quite. Anybody else to try? Who can think of the few things that I've described to be something? What could be William's surname? All right. If you look to the screen, I'm going to show you his surname. It's not that one. It's not this one. But it is that one. So William Colgate was born in Kent, in England. He started that company in 1806, Colgate. His son took after him, but he became very famous. From where I grew up, when any toothpaste was Colgate. And I started thinking any toothpaste is called Colgate, not knowing actually that Colgate, William Colgate, started that company. To this day, many people know about Colgate. How many of you use Colgate? So from a very young age, William Colgate started giving. And I want to encourage you to be like William Colgate. Think about it, support others, be there for others. Oh, lovely. All right, kids, take your seat. Now, I want to do something I've never done, and you'll bear with me. I've never done it, so I've no experience in this. But I want to invite, if I call your name, please come forward and join me here. All right, Nikki, come. Ruth, come. Gary, come. Maima, come. Anne. Roseanne. Anne as well. You come as well. All right. Katie, you are not out. Come. Maureen, come. Ian, you are not out of it. Please. Phil, it can't be without you. And Savior, please come. So I want to please come forward a bit so that all of you can fit here. This is going to be my choir. Right, please come this end. Right, I want to show you that we are a gifted church. And Liz, you can come and join them. All right, so this choir of mine is going to sing a very popular song. They don't need hymn books and all that. Mary, I know you are on the technical side, but Margaret can handle things a bit as you come forward. Stuart is already part of it. So Mary, you're going to go on the piano. And I've never done it as well. So don't worry, Mary. You'll be okay. So this is a lovely choir of mine. And we're going to sing a song that says, Jesus loves me, this I know. Okay? And I want you to sing and Mary is going to be playing. All right. So one, two, three, sing.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Oh, yes.
For the Bible tells me so. Little ones do hear me.
Take your seats. And you think we don't, I don't know why we don't have a choir. I don't know why we can't have a choir. This is a lovely choir. And thank you for coming through, and thank you for doing your part. Now, if you don't get to, and by saying choir, well, because I was the choir master, but if you don't get to do me a favor and start to think about joining a singing and accompanying group, I will be doing this every Sunday. So let's stand to sing together CH4557, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Be seated. Now we continue to worship God with our gifts of money and with also the burdens that we share with Jesus Christ this morning. And I want to invite you to surrender everything unto this loving God who cares. Let's surrender our gifts of thanks. Let's surrender also the things that we don't want. Give it unto Jesus this morning as Stuart will be playing for us. Let us pray. God, whose giving knows no ending, we know how to say thank you when we receive. Right now we say thank you as we give. In our giving, hear a heartfelt gratitude for all that you are and all that we have. Bless the gifts of for your mission in this country, in this small city or town, but also throughout the world where your message of love extends to. Bless these gifts, Lord. Open our eyes to how you are calling us to continuously participate in what you're doing. We also pray that, Lord, as we prepare our hearts to accept your word, silence in us any voices but your own, so that we may hear your word and also do what it asks us to do. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 John chapter 3, and Ian is going to read from verse 16 through to 24. 16 through to 24. The kids are being asked to leave.
This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us. We too then ought to give our lives for our brothers. If a rich person sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against his brother, how can he claim that he loves God? My children, our love should not be just words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action. This then is how we will know that we belong to the truth. This is how we will be confident in God's presence. If our conscience condemns us, we know that God is greater than our conscience and that he knows everything. And so, my dear friends, if our conscience does not condemn us, we have courage in God's presence. We receive them from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. What he commands is that we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as Christ commanded us. Whoever obeys God's commands lives in union with God, and God lives in union with him. And because of the Spirit that God has given us, we know that God lives in union with us. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word, and to his name be all glory and praise. Amen.
Amen. We stand to sing 706-706, CH4-706.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Words are powerful. And as a preacher, and many of you who have preached or had an opportunity to preach, we know this for sure, that our own words or the proclamation of God's words don't come lightly, especially when you proclaim the good news in the name of God. So yes, words matter. Talk, however, sometimes can be cheap, and talk can convey feelings of love without offering a unique or pure demonstration of what love is. If you look around us in our world today, there is quite a lot that seems to be too harsh when you try and relate it with life. For the most part, people live for self. They love themselves, we love ourselves. We each and every day strive to provide for self. Some people, of course, do display genuine love to others as they reach out to others for the concern of other people. But most people in the world, and even in the church, they are wrapped around this me, myself, and I. So that is our world. And it is shocking to know that even in the church, people are so concerned about me, myself, and I. Now, the Bible is quite clear that the way for Christians is actually supposed to be different from the way the world sees its values. In other words, we are taught in the Bible that genuine love for others is our calling. If ever you think God has called you here to worship, or wherever you are, one of the main things God has called you to do is God has called you to love others. In case you say, well, Nigel, where in the Bible do we find that? Let me help you. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, we read these things. This is Jesus talking to his disciples and to us. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, he says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I'm sure most of you can recall this very passage about loving one another. So today I've called the sermon title, How to Love. And it's a deliberate one, because one of the things that if you want to mess up with anyone in this world, tell them how to live, tell them how to use their money, tell them how they should walk their lives, then they won't be happy with you. So I'm hoping you all hearing me will be happy with me. Or actually, to be frank, you won't be happy with me. For the author of 1 John, words and speech are an adequate expression of love. In other words, he is saying, words and speech are not enough to show us what love is. God demonstrates before we were born, before our parents thought of us, through Jesus Christ, God demonstrates what we call agape kind of love. And he did it in two ways. He did it through action, and he did it so well. In other words, in truth. So these two things are very vital when we think of love. So let's turn to our passage. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we read this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now, sometimes when we read the Bible, we ought to understand, where is this coming from? Because verse 16 is not where everything started, but this is where everything started. And it started in verse 11. We didn't read that. Ian didn't read that, and I'm going to read it for you. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another, John says. Verse 12. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. That's harsh. Verse 15. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderers has eternal life in him. Harsh words. Very tough words. Why did I read that? These early verses show us something about self-love, which was displayed by Cain in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 4. And self-love cares only about self, me, myself, and I. And the opposite of that is what Jesus shows. On the other hand, Jesus sets the standard for loving others. He loved us as much as he could. He gave us as much as he could. He loved us so much that while we were still sinners, enemies of God, he died for us. In other words, I'm saying, according to verse 16, Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And I think this is one of the things that we hear in the Bible. We hear Christians proclaim so many times. What does that mean? The Bible is trying to tell us that genuine God-like love knows no boundaries. It sets no limits. It draws no lines. It never says this far and no further. And that is something that we don't often practice as Christians. True love is without limits. Now, I think some of you, you've heard this or you've said this. Darling, I love you. I would climb the highest mountain for you. Maybe it was in my time only. Do you familiarize with that? Oh, darling, I love you. I would swim the deepest streams for you. I would fight the jungle of lions for you. But sometimes it ends something like this. And if it doesn't rain, I'll be over to see you. That's not real love. Genuine love knows no boundaries and no conditions. It freely gives and asks nothing in return. The question is, do you love others like this? Can you keep on and going on and on loving someone who is taking you for granted? One of the things that we don't do is we get to say, you know what, Nigel, you need to understand this. I've been giving and giving and giving, and I came to that place where I said, enough is enough. She has had enough. He has had enough. And you count. Tarara, John says, actually, we are asked to do more. So the first how to learn from Jesus, to love like Jesus, is this. Lay down your life for others. Before you get to say, you want me to die for people? Let me help you and rescue you from that. What does that mean? Die for others? No, I'm convinced not. Perhaps the words of Paul can help us to define how we lay down our lives for others. And this is what Paul says in Philippians 2. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. That's what it means to lay down your life for others. You know, it's like in marriage. For some of you who have been married or who have watched marriages from a distance, you can tell this. Whenever rights, like human rights, come into play, it's very possible to go messy. But what it means to lay down your life for the other is for the husband to shush and actually get to say, love, I could have done it differently. I'm sorry. Do you know what happens after that? For those who have been married and for those who have watched other people who are married, then she would turn back and say, oh, don't do it next time. And then harmony is back on. But if the man thinks, I've got rights, I'm the man of the moment, and get to say, you're wrong about that, they can exchange forever and ever. And if they are Christians, they can keep on going until 2 a.m. because the Bible also says in another part, don't go to bed until you have resolved what is between the two of you. So lay down your life for the other. In verse 17, we could not be more practical than this. It gets to say, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? This is where sometimes the good news doesn't do it for me. Because the good news will almost make you feel like, I'm not rich. Because it says, for those who are rich. Because everybody can easily say, I'm not rich. But the version I'm reading is, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or a sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Do you see that loving someone is expensive? Do you see it? Do you see it? Well, you don't. If we want to see what love would do, then look no further. Look to the cross. Look at Calvary. Look and see the Lord Jesus giving everything he had to serve the ones he loved. And he showed us the truth that true love freely opens its hands and gives away everything it must. Jesus went on as far further as giving his life for the sake of others. He saw our need, and he could see that we were in need of salvation, and he gave. Now, I love details and passages. The author, John here, he uses the verb see. See. Did you hear it? If anyone has material possessions and sees, it conveys an idea of observing the needs of those in our Christian community and family. We seek to see. We see with our eyes. You don't have to be told, in case some of us will get to say, you know what, I'm sorry, but I didn't get to hear that he was struggling or to hear that he had a problem. But we see. And I want to pose a question to you. Do you pay attention to how your brothers and sisters are doing? What do you see when you see? Remember, some of you have changed seats. You're sitting around people you don't normally sit around. Or maybe you're sitting around the same people. What do you see? What do you see about others? In our Christian fellowship, are we very intertwined enough to see that somebody else is not here? And maybe what it means, or maybe to just observe something out of your eyes, I think you need the Spirit of God to reveal things to you. Are our relationships very clear enough to be able to see the burdens of others? To alleviate those burdens for others? Well, of course, you can't see how they are living unless you go to their house. You don't go, you say, oh, it's a personal issue. It's a personal matter. We don't just barge into people's houses. We don't just visit people. Do you take time to visit others? Or let alone, if you don't want to barge into their homes and all that, do you take time to say, can I take you for coffee? Let me share with you. I once asked a pastor who was doing so much for one project we were working with for the underprivileged. And he used to be bubbly about it. And I said to him, look, I want to find out, how do you keep giving? When do you know the limit? When do you come to say, this is enough? And he said, well, I give until it hurts. I give until it hurts. That's love. Love. Sometimes in order to best express it, it needs to hurt. Have you ever given when to a point that you start feeling like, this is a bit too much? When that starts to happen, if you're still comfortable with your giving, you give and you say, I'm okay. When you've started to give to a point where it starts to hurt your pocket, then maybe you're getting there. Or maybe you get to give and give so much attention to someone and you start feeling that, they're taking me for granted. That could be an indicator. Another observation is this. We can easily give others with our thoughts and prayers. Because if we are honest, that costs us nothing. Prayer and thoughts, I'll be thinking about you. We do say that, right? That's not enough. That's not enough. Love expressed through thoughtful financial or going out of your way is the beginning of what it means to love others. And our author seems to anticipate the reluctance of love and sacrificial ways. And this is why he gives us an affectionate, clear statement in verse 18, and I've used the message specifically for this one. It says, my dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. That's verse 18. Genuine love doesn't just talk, it acts. I'm sure most of you would agree with me. Without Calvary, John 3:16 would not make sense. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. But it goes on to say, he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So it says, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. With actions and in truth, Jesus said, I'm the way. Remember what he said in John's gospel? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So in truth, in Jesus, it will be genuine, not driven by self motives. What will he say after I've given this? What will the community say about me? Oh, everybody will get to say, I support this charity and all that. Verse 23, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. Some believers may struggle with this question, is my love real or good enough? Or do I belong to God and to God's community, because I struggle sometimes to love certain people? I do struggle to love everybody else. Nigel, so are you saying I'm then excluded? The author, John, offers the assurance that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything in verse 20. By this he means that God's profound greatness, perfect wisdom, and abiding love serve as the basis for our relationship with him and others, even when our best intentions run out or fall flat before God. Christ's unlimited love reaches out to us and says, son, daughter, even though you struggle to love others, hear this. And I might, perhaps let me help you to show you that he does it. Do you remember a guy named Peter in the Bible? The Peter, the disciple of Jesus. He went on to say, Jesus, you know that I love you. I would die for you. I would do anything for you. Few days later, what happened? When people came to him and said, he was with Jesus. He said, I don't know him. First time. Second time, he went on to say, I don't know him. Third time, three times he denied knowing Christ. But was that used against him? No. Few days later, what do you see? Jesus at the Sea of Galilee reached out to this same, very same man. He embraced him with love. He was making a commitment to say, Jesus, I love you just like you and me. But sometimes we actually get to say, I'm annoyed by this kind of attitude Nigel shows. Sometimes I don't like him. Sometimes I like him. Sometimes I don't like him. Sometimes I like him. And God says to you this morning, it doesn't matter. That's who you are. Do you remember what Jesus did with Peter? He asked him, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus, and Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he asked him again, Peter, do you love me? I think if I was Peter, at that point I would be annoyed. And he was annoyed, and he turned and he said, Lord, you know everything. And I want to say to you, he knows your heart, he knows your intentions, and he knows how much you fail. So the temptation of you getting to curse yourself when it comes, be assured of his love. I want to close because I've been speaking too long. I wonder if God has made a need known to you. In other words, you've seen a need, and maybe somebody in this church or somebody in your community, and you want to do something. And John is saying, here is the test when all the talk and the studying is gone, the sermon is finished. Here is your test. What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that need? Are you going to do something? Perhaps let me help you to reflect. How is your love life as a church, as an individual? We need to hear the message of these verses. Can we honestly say that we love others as we should? Can we honestly say, yes, I do lift the burdens of others. I do my best. If not, the call is for us to come to this loving Jesus and say, teach me how to love. And he would. Amen. We're going to sing together 461, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Holy and wondrous God, we come to you with our prayers for the world and its people. For those whom we class poor, we pray for the open and generous hearts of others, that they might reach out to their plights, that they might move to action. For the brokenhearted, we pray for healing, and we pray for peace to come into their hearts and for the peace to be the solution, because you are the giver of peace. For those captives, we pray for a release from whatever is keeping them imprisoned, be it their situations, economic or social. Or perhaps their hearts, may we not play hide and seek with them, but reach out to them. For those wrongfully imprisoned, we pray for justice and freedom. May we never give up on those who need us, those voices that needs us to shout and to reach out and proclaim justice for. Lord, your Spirit is in our midst, healing and touching. And we pray for the moving of your Holy Spirit. May you pour your Spirit among your people right now, those who are here, those who are watching, wherever they are, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, reach out and touch and change your people's hearts. And may you just save your people. May you heal your people. May you open up eyes for people to see. Father God, we thank you because you are at work in us. As we think about how to love, we pray for your strength to help us to love our enemies, to love those who are hard to love, to reach out to those who are very complicated people. No matter how much we try to reach out to them, they will be shunning away. And Father God, give us your spirit to enable us to reach out to others. And as others are reaching out to us, to reach back to them with a heart full of joy, the joy that you only can give. Help us in our daily lives to mirror the love that you have given us. May we never forget this. We love because you loved us. Be with us. All this we pray for and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is CH4459. Crown him with many crowns. As you go, look up, look down, look around you, see, may you be filled with the love of Christ who laid down his life for us. May this love inspire you to show compassion and generosity to those in need. May your heart be assured before God. May your actions reflect your faith in him. The blessing of God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.